Monterey dentist who listens and who cares. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. U.S. and Iraqi forces have been busy since dispatching Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
We obviously did conduct those 17 raids, and then last night we conducted an additional 39 operations across Iraq, some directly related to the information we'd received.
General Bill Caldwell says the information may go a long way toward dismantling al-Qaeda in Iraq and elsewhere. President Bush.
I am confident that al-Qaeda will try to regroup and kill other people in order to say, well, we haven't lost our, you know, we haven't lost our way.
Today on Al Jazeera, al-Qaeda's number two, Ayman al-Zawahiri, heaping present tense praise on Zarqawi, evidently a tape made before the smart bombs fell. Wendy's is going healthier on its menu. No more biggie fries. They'll be the same size order of fries. They're just going to call them medium. As Delphi, GM's largest single supplier, works to come out of bankruptcy, it is making deals right and left with its workers. Early retirement, now buyouts for hourly workers.
They are opening the door and allowing Delphi and GM to basically provide buyout packages to almost their entire unionized workforce within both of those organizations.
Industry analyst Eric Merkel says for Delphi to emerge from bankruptcy, it must become smaller. Wall Street, the Dow was off nearly 47 points to close at about 10,892. The Nasdaq lost 10 today. Oil prices $71.63 a barrel, up $1.28. The latest personal information file theft story comes from the Department of Energy.
Members of Congress were furious to learn that private information, including Social Security numbers of 1,500 Energy Department employees, was stolen by a computer hacker last September. None of the victims were told, and neither was the Energy Secretary. The computer the hacker broke into belongs to the government agency that guards the nation's nuclear weapons, but the agency had told Congress no nuclear secrets were compromised.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. If your boss really cared about you, you'd have a massage in the midst of every workday, now wouldn't you? Really, it is happening more and more.
Employees tend to be much more invigorated. It's helping them deal with stress and helping to deal also, in some cases, with relieving pain.
Brenda Griffith is past president of the American Massage Therapy Association. Those were the Polish fans before the World Cup match with Ecuador. Ecuador won 2-0 today. Earlier, host Germany beat Costa Rica 4-2. In Huntsville, Ontario, a vandal was caught by police after he abandoned his hiding place in the bushes. A swarm of Canada's infamous mosquitoes, which resemble bloodthirsty birds of prey with long noses, found the unfortunate auto windshield basher, and he came crashing out of the bushes, arms and hands thrashing and slapping at the air. The waiting police had plenty of insect repellent for themselves. This is CBS News.
A nifty Happy Days lunchbox. Mint condition. The turn signal from a 68 Camaro SS. A 500 kilo mega gig MP3 player. What do these have in common? Well, for one, they're all things you might find in that cyber wonderland called eBay. And for another, you could ship any one of them anywhere in the U.S. for just $8.10. That's the beauty of Priority Mail flat rate boxes from the United States Postal Service. Whether you're shipping a rare piece of celebrity body lint, a gross of mood rings, or almost anything else you can put in a flat rate box, if it fits, it ships for $8.10. It's the most exciting use of cardboard this side of that life-size Uncle Sam cutout you were bidding on last week. Plus, now you can win $10,000 to spend on eBay in the Ship It, Win It sweepstakes. Pick up a flat rate box and entry form at a participating post office. $10,000. That, my friend, is a lot of lava lights. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Sweepstakes N63006. Must be a legal U.S. resident, 18 or older. You can also enter and get official rules at shipitwinit.com.
It was a trip to Alaska on the celebrity cruise ship Mercury. KIRO reporter Jim Valley says the cruise, for about 5% of the passengers, was a real stomachache.
The Mercury is back from its Alaskan cruise. Celebrity Cruise Line claims 115 of the over 2,000 passengers on board got sick. So how do you try to stay well in such closed quarters?
Stay in our room. We knew we weren't sick. We wanted to stay in our room and not come out.
But we were just avoiding people at all costs, or trying to sit where there's fresh air if we went outside.
During its last inspection, the CDC says this ship scored 99 out of 100 for cleanliness. Jim Valley for CBS News, Seattle.
Yes, it is your front yard, and yes, you own it. But Washington, D.C. officials argue if it's in an historic district, your front yard is public property. That's how they plan to fight the display of the Ten Commandments on private property across from the Supreme Court building. It's on property owned by the religious group Faith and Action. Big legal fight on the way. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're going to deliver. I am your humble host, Peter B. Collins, originating from San Francisco today. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll be coming to you mostly live from Washington, D.C. There's a big conference there of progressives called the Take Back America Conference. Loads of people are going to be there. We have appointments to talk with Congressman John Conyers of Michigan, George Miller of California, and a lot of great people, including Sibel Edmonds, the courageous Turkish-American who blew the whistle on shenanigans at the FBI, and her reward is the state's secrets gag order. But she'll ignore it again and talk with us coming up on Monday. On today's program, we shuffled the order a little bit from our usual schedule. Brad Friedman will join us next hour. He's the proprietor of bradblog.com, and he's got news about the Busbee-Bill Bray election. He has questions about whether the voting machines work properly there, and with such a narrow margin, just 4,700 votes separating them. We're going to investigate that a little further. Big Mouth Blonde Ann Coulter has been very busy this week, alienating all kinds of Americans, and she still is in trouble in Palm Beach, Florida, where she has registered to vote, we believe, illegally. We'll talk also about Greg Pallast and some of the work he's doing these days. Brad is one of the voices on the audiobook of Greg Pallast's recently released edition. And so we'll probably cover a little bit of that with his Bradness, too. John Laird, the Assembly Budget Chair here in California, will join us at the top of our third hour. We'll get his take on the primary election results this week and whether there's going to be a budget on time this year with the new Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, we're going to parse the Zarqawi event and also talk about various things related to Donald Rumsfeld, including Poppy Bush, George H.W. Bush, it was revealed this week, has been quietly behind the scenes trying to get Rummy replaced and even had lined up a recruit to take over as Secretary of Defense. And we'll talk with Scott, of course, about the investigation into the cover-up of the massacre at Haditha, Hamdaniya, and a few other events in our occupied Iraq. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. This hour, we kick off our program with two of my favorite media commentators and media reform agitators. John Nichols from The Nation will be joining us on the half hour, and Norman Solomon will join us in a moment. But
you
first,
you will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
You thought we'd like a reading from the Gospel according to Gil Scott Heron.
Because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions.
The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary.
Ah, but Gil, to update things, would Zarqawi know that the revolution will not be televised? Norman Solomon joins us. He is the author of the recent book called War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. Norman, welcome to the program today.
Hi, Peter. Well, I think demagoguery is being televised.
It certainly is. Hey, my first question for you today is the Zarqawi package, and I'm not talking about necessarily the specific events, but the media package that was delivered to the corporate media in this country yesterday and then distributed to the American people with nary a question, nary a critical or skeptical eye or ear placed on it. Is this the new Jessica Lynch propaganda package? Just the latest?
Well, you can almost set your watch by it that the initial story put out by the Bush administration falls apart. And I don't know how soon that will take place, but if I was a betting person, I would say there's a lot more yet to be discovered. I did see a general, a spokesperson for the U.S. command, on a satellite hookup with Barbara Starr at CNN and some other corporate media about 4 hours ago on C-SPAN. And I think that there are some questions. You know, this guy happened to be alive when the U.S. came in, but he died right away. Will there be an autopsy? Was he shot after the troops arrived? We don't know.
Well, you're correct. There are a number of questions. First of all, American television loves to be fed, spoon-fed, the footage from the Pentagon. And so we saw repeated showings on television last night of a sequence of events from the bombardier's perspective. And they have a camera there, and it shows the ground, and then it shows a bomb dropping, and then it shows a lot of clouds of dust and debris, and then it shows a second bomb dropping. That could have been anywhere, anytime.
Well, there's a production value brought, much more than any sort of humane value, I must add, from the Pentagon, where the war becomes a co-production of the networks and the so-called Department of Defense. And I think that there are some other agendas running here, which is to try to legitimize a tool, a deadly tool, that more and more will be central to U.S. policy in Iraq, and that is the air war. And this is very good PR for the idea that you solve problems by sending planes up in the air and dropping bombs on the ground. A year from now, 2 years from now, as Bush is bragging about how many U.S. troops he has withdrawn from Iraq, they're also going to be boasting about how good their air cover is, how many people they're killing, and they won't talk about the civilians that they're killing in the process.
Well, and just to continue, you know, questioning the evidence, or at least the package that has been delivered so far, one report yesterday, which I think was taking license with its language on the CBS Hourly Newscast, said that they had dropped these two 500-pound bombs, quote-unquote, on Zarqawi's head. Well, first of all, the pictures that we have been shown, there is one of him with scars and debris and blood, and then they kind of cleaned him up like a mortician would for a funeral home. And so you can start to say, all right, now they blew the hell up out of this building that he was in with two 500-pound bombs, but they managed to find his body intact, and then we learned today that he survived the bombing and was alive and on a stretcher when he expired before they could take him to the hospital. I still have a hard time believing that he actually was directly a victim of this bombing. And conversely, Norman, I have a hard time understanding why we had to bomb this guy instead of surrounding this isolated safe house and attempting to take him and the other people there alive.
Well, the general on the hookup through the Pentagon today was saying that that was a decision made by the operational commander and so forth. I think that from beginning to end, much more than any sort of military or logistical operation, this was a political and a media operation. They said that this is the bad guy. It's like because the U.S. invaded Iraq, it is doing its best now through the White House to make its lie come true, which was that this is a war against terrorism and al-Qaeda. In no way, shape, or form was it when the invasion began or in the early part of the occupation. The U.S. military, under the commander-in-chief, has created a war with al-Qaeda in the service of a propaganda mission, which is to transform an illegal and immoral war into something that is defensive against terrorism.
Well, also, it's very clear, even if you don't go as far as some of the fringe bloggers who believe that Zarqawi was essentially a double agent of the United States, we certainly did beef up his mystique and personalize him as an on-the-ground leader in Iraq. And in my view, we grossly inflated his importance and his role in the so-called insurgency.
The more that the word al-Qaeda can be put out in terms of the context of this war in Iraq, the better the White House likes it. You got a totally chaotic situation in Iraq, and the idea that there's some sort of cohesive network that is the gist of the resistance, I think, is preposterous. You know, there are foreign fighters there. When there was the U.S. assault on Fallujah, even the Pentagon was saying, we're talking about 5%, maybe 7% max, of the fighters against the U.S. were not Iraqi. That means well over 90% are Iraqis who just don't want the U.S. troops in their country.
Yeah. Norman, you wrote the book War Made Easy, in which you cite a lot of the ruses, pretexts, and outright lies that have been fed to the American people in the name of heading off into a war. Can you think of a parallel of this splashy capture and killing of Zarqawi in American history?
Well, of course, there was the capture, though not killing, of Saddam Hussein. There was the one after a manhunt. And then in front of the Vatican building, the Nuncio building in Panama City, where Noriega was taken prisoner, and all with a lot of drum rolls. You know, they love this sort of thing. In the case of Saddam Hussein and Manuel Noriega, these were people who were pets of the CIA. In the case of Noriega, on the payroll. And he was a good guy until he crosses Washington, then he's a bad guy, then he's captured, and it's supposed to be a turning point. There have been so many turning points with Iraq, it'd make your head spin, including captures and deaths and taking certain towns and elections and rigged up adoptions of constitutions that are prescriptions for disaster. So this is another in a long line of turning points that I believe will be anything but.
We'll continue in just a moment with Norman Solomon. If you have a question or comment, you can join us at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. 17 minutes past the hour, you're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Join R.J. Moyet for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyet brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyet. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 21 minutes past the hour. About 10 minutes from now, John Nichols will join us, a writer for The Nation. And he and Robert McChesney have a new book out called Tragedy and Farce, which covers some of the same terrain as Norman Solomon's book called War Made Easy. The subtitle of Tragedy and Farce is How the American Media Sell Wars, Spin Elections, and Destroy Democracy. And when John joins us, one of the things we'll talk about is the congressional action today, which ends what we call net neutrality, at least in the House. We're talking now with Norman Solomon. And, Norman, I wanted to turn next to the piece that you posted earlier this week at truthout.org and probably other websites. Do you want to mention others that picked it up?
Common Dreams and Alternet would be a couple others.
Okay. It's entitled The Urbanity of Evil, and it is your reflection on your interactions with Tariq Aziz, who was the he was a deputy prime minister and also the foreign minister of Iraq, if I'm correct.
That's correct, yeah.
And tell us a little bit about your impressions of seeing him recently as he testified at the Saddam show trial.
Well, he was featured on the front page of the New York Times, rather pathetic, almost emaciated, in a hospital gown and a plastic bracelet around his wrist. How different from a few years ago in the fall and winter of 2002 and late January of 2003, just a couple of months before the invasion of Iraq, where he was riding high. He was in his well-cut business suit a couple of times. I was at meetings with him. Another time he was in a kind of a military paratrooper jumpsuit suit, and he was very much what he was accustomed to being, which was a high-ranking official in a regime that needed him or tapped him to give the cosmetics to the corpse of the regime, to speak fancy and to improvise and to use his verbal skills to try to make something that was indefensible seem quite respectable. What really struck me at the time was that he did epitomize kind of the urbanity of evil. He was slick, he was very fluent and articulate, and I thought, if this guy was born an American, he would be a great politician on Capitol Hill. You could imagine him in Congress or standing in front of the press at the White House press room. This guy was an archetype to transcend any system.
Well, and since you make that reference, you know, the first image that comes into my mind is the departing Tom DeLay, who was so full of himself, and his farewell speech on the floor of the House yesterday was full of barbs for his political opponents and full of boasting of his accomplishments. I mean, he even bragged about the K Street project. Can you believe that?
Well, you know, some people may not be quite comfortable hearing this, but I see no problem with drawing a moral equivalency between Tom DeLay and Tariq Aziz. Tariq Aziz's son was arrested as a warning against him at some point. Certainly Aziz understood that if he were to cross or even displease his boss Saddam Hussein, he might be imprisoned or killed. What's the excuse of the politicians on Capitol Hill who knowingly continue to support a war that we know has, according to the Lancet Medical Journal, resulted now in well over 100,000 Iraqi civilians being killed? It's the same dynamic, me first, and the heck with people who suffer as a result.
Well, and his replacement, DeLay's replacement, John Boehner of Ohio, is planning to set aside some time for debate next week regarding the war in Iraq. And I smell a rat here. I think he's going to put out another one of those phony resolutions, the one they tried to use to snooker the Democrats around the time of Murtha's pronouncements last fall. And it'll be very interesting to see whether this is an honest debate about the complications of our adventure in Iraq, or whether it is a partisan attempt to push back the critics and silence them.
This is somewhere that we really need to learn from history. When Congress got serious about ending the war in and on Vietnam, they cut off the funding for the war. And until we have people standing in the well, taking that position on Capitol Hill, we'll know that it's mostly hot air.
That's very simple and very powerful, Norman, and it is correct. You know, the way they've funded this war with these continuing resolutions, and we have another one that is about to clear both houses right now, it's off the books. It's like Enron accounting.
Yes.
They just pretend that it's not really part of the budget.
That's right. Off the books, supplementals. When you add it up, you actually do what the entire gizmo is arranged to have us not do. Take the standing Pentagon budget, add one supplemental after another for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. You're up above $500 billion a year and rising.
Yeah, and we don't acknowledge that. And then the Republicans tried to push through the long-term repeal of the estate tax again this week, oblivious to the financial implications, oblivious to the classism that it represents.
Well, I think that there is a clear groundswell against this kind of give to the rich and slaughter the poor. When you look at, for instance, in the 6th Congressional District, Lynn Woolsey, a very strong get out of Iraq voice now for years, a corporate Democrat, Joe Nation, came in, had big money behind him, and she clobbered him with well over 60% of the vote.
Mm-hmm. But likewise, I was disappointed that Jane Harman maintained her margin of roughly 62 to, I think, Marcy Winograd racked up 37, which is, as Tom Hayden has pointed out, is promising, but didn't deliver the goods.
The gap in that case was huge in terms of $750,000 reported spent by Jane Harman. Should have been totally a safe seat. So hopefully she's sweating a bit, but it also is instructed to us, we've got a lot of organizing to do, and we got to start early for 2008.
Exactly. And the dream, the wish of regaining one house on the Hill this fall, I think is very far-fetched, particularly based on the turnout in California in both Democratic and Republican primaries.
It's going to be a battle.
It really will. Norman, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Likewise. Thanks, Peter.
Norman Solomon. Read his work at truthout.org, Alternet, or Common Dreams. His new book, War Made Easy. John Nichols will join us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to tune in to the greatest reality radio show ever.
It's Sheila.
Not now, Kate. Saturday evening, 6 to 7, we'll have the most interesting people.
But Sheila.
What is it?
You didn't mention my name.
Kate. Of course, Kate. We love you, Kate. That's Kate and Sheila Gale every Saturday evening, 6 to 7.
On reality radio.
AM 540.
On KRXA.
Oh, good, Kate. You done real good.
Oh, thanks.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com, talks about election irregularities in California's primary this week and lingering questions about the validity of the vote in San Diego, where Brian Bilbray beat Francine Busby by just 4,700 votes. And Brad always brings an Ann Coulter update. He won't disappoint today. I want to open up the phone lines because right now we can't track down John Nichols. He's out there somewhere near Madison, Wisconsin, and we're dialing feverishly to get a hold of him. But in the meantime, you can join me and talk about issues that are in the news. Lines are open right now on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. That's 899-5792. Or call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. And if we do get a hold of John Nichols, one of the first things I want to talk with him about is a post that is available right now at thenation.com. As you may know, John Nichols is the Washington correspondent for The Nation, and he's also a guy who has been one of the leaders of the media reform movement in this country. And today he wrote about net neutrality, and that may be a vague concept to you. But let me explain that the cable companies and others who stand to profit by turning the Internet into a tiered service, that's not tears that come out of your eye, but tears as in levels of service, like cable television, where you got your basic cable, and what's that cost now, $35, $40 a month? And then you add HBO, you add digital cable with on-demand, all that stuff, and pretty soon you're up to $90 a month. That's where I am. And in order to get specific programs, you have to pay a little extra each month to sign up for HBO or Showtime or some of the other premium channels. And that's the model that the telecom companies see as their future route to great profits from providing Internet service. Now, I believe that one of the other things they're scared to death of is that the Internet is going to make standard landline telephone service obsolete. And with long distance being placed on voice over IP now, if you've heard about Skype, some of the other telephonic services that use the Internet, well, they're planning for the future, and they're planning to stay in charge of our telecommunications, including the Internet. So the vote in the House was 321 to 101 for what Nichols refers to here as the disingenuously named Communications Opportunity Promotion and Enhancement Act. The letters stand for COPE, COPE. That bill, which does not include meaningful network neutrality protections, creates an opening that powerful telephone and cable companies hope will hope to exploit by expanding their reach while doing away with requirements that they maintain a level playing field for access to Internet sites. Special interest advocates from telephone and cable companies have flooded the Congress with misinformation delivered by an army of lobbyists to undermine decades-long federal practices of prohibiting network owners from discriminating against competitors to shut out competition. Unless the Senate steps in, yesterday's vote marks the beginning of the end of the Internet as an engine of new competition, entrepreneurship, and innovation. That's a quote from Janine Kenny, a senior policy analyst for Consumers Union. So what we have here is a real serious problem. And once again, with one-party rule in Washington and a number of Democrats crossing the aisle to contribute to this misguided vote, what we have is a situation where our interests are being sold out to the same phone companies that collaborated with the Bush administration to deliver our phone records, monitor our calls, intercept our emails, and generally defy our privacy protections that are, in my view, guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution and by the privacy policies that are contracts as part of our service with a Comcast or an AT&T or Redshift, if that's your Internet service provider. So this is a very serious problem, and it is disappointing, once again, that many Democrats don't get the issue, either that or they've been rented out through fundraisers and lobbyist pressure. And one of the heroes of this fight is Ed Markey. He's a Democratic congressman from Massachusetts, and he submitted an amendment that was rejected, 269 to 152, that would have prevented broadband providers from rigging their services to create two-tier access to the Internet with an information superhighway for sites that pay fees for preferential treatment and a dirt road for sites that cannot pay that toll. And just to give you one other comparison to the way cable systems operate and cable contracts operate, the gatekeepers who deliver cable television to your home extract a fee from many, if not most, of the channels that they carry. I know, for example, that when Murdoch launched the Fox News Channel, he was able to get carriage on, you know, virtually, virtually most of the cable systems around the country, simply by paying John Malone and the people who, as I described, are the gatekeepers at the head end of the cable systems. And that's what they want to do with the Internet. So if CNN is willing to pay a fee to your Internet service provider, then the CNN site is going to come through faster and cleaner. And let's take truthout.org or Buzzflash. They're not going to pay the fee. And so they'll be delivered at a slower speed with less bandwidth. You get the picture. Second-class citizens on what is currently an unclassed service, the Internet. So I'd like you to stay abreast of this issue because we've got to find a way to block it in the United States Senate. Dave's on the line from Eureka this afternoon. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, you know, almost a day doesn't go by that this administration, these cons, don't attempt something to harm the citizens of this country.
And and sometimes they don't even limit it to one a day, Dave.
No. You know, the one thing that I would hope that you would make a plan to do, because I attribute all of this to election fraud. We would never have had these people in there, except for, it's spelled out so well now by RFK Jr., that of every candidate for Congress, I try to call in and do it, make them very much aware of what a problem that is for this country and get a commitment that they will do all in their means to try to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. I do understand your point, and as you know, Dave, I'm very focused and concerned about election fraud. We also have to look, though, at the role of voters. And I don't completely understand why turnout in California's primary was only 28%. Put aside the bozos running for governor, okay? We have serious problems in Washington, D.C. that could be addressed by replacing some of the incumbent members of Congress, Democrat and Republican, from California. Yet voters did not seem up to that task in any way, shape, or form. People don't see or not enough people saw the difference, for example, between Jane Harman and Marcy Winograd. And the differences could not be more clear. And so we certainly want to focus on the voting issues, and I'm not downplaying that or soft-pedaling it in the least. But we got to get back to the fundamental issue that too many people who might vote for the kind of progressive candidates, Dave, that you and I would support, don't show up on election day. They didn't think it was worth their time to turn up and vote. And that is a very serious problem because the people who do show up and vote are older, more conservative, and often evangelical types. And their voices are being heard, and there is a silent majority of progressives in this country. And if they don't wake up, stand up, and assert themselves, we're going to be stuck with these gremlins for a long time into the future.
Well, I think there's an awful lot of people, Peter, that now fear that their vote won't count, that it's all going to be rigged. But I think that's not a good reason because we have to try and do the very best we can. But I
think even with rigged elections, Dave, one of the antidotes is for everyone to vote because the more votes there are, the harder it is to steal them.
Yeah.
And the bigger majorities are, it's harder to steal it.
Well, I think they've got it to a point right now, if it goes 75% against them, they can turn that. But, and it's going to show exit polls showing they lost by 75%. And people will be screaming and ranting, but you'll hear again Rush Limbaugh saying, live with it, the election was honest, accept it, but the thing we've gone through the last two elections. I think there's got to be some way. In a lot of states, a lot of counties right now, they have got injunctions in place that have outlawed some of these machines. And that makes it where they're going to have to do more cheating on fewer machines. But they'll go as far as they have to. I know that.
Yeah. Well, Brad will be here next hour. We're going to talk about some of the anomalies from this Tuesday's election here and a couple of reports from around the country, too. And so, yes, Dave, it is an important issue. It is a fundamental threat to our democracy. But so is the failure of so many people to participate. When it doesn't cost you anything, it's not that complicated. And we have too many people who think, you know, their lives and their daily routines are more important than taking a few minutes to become informed and stop by the polls or even, you know, vote absentee.
Absentee is the way to go, I think. In the very end, there is going to be some paper there that can be manually counted. And you and I go back on this issue a long time, I know, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, an unidentified caller checked in just before showtime today from Santa Cruz County and wanted to pass the word, and I assume this is true, I haven't verified it myself, that it is now possible in Santa Cruz County to sign up for a permanent mail ballot or an ongoing absentee ballot arrangement so that in every election they will automatically send you a paper ballot by mail in advance, and you can mail it in so you do not have to subject your vote to processing by a system that you don't trust.
Yeah, that's true in this county, and I'm on it. Everybody I know has we receive an absentee ballot sent mm-hmm. to us every year.
Yeah. All right, Dave, good to talk to you today.
Thank you, Peter.
Always a pleasure. I'd like to hear from you. I could talk to you and you over there in the Cadillac. 831-899-5792 is our number. Or call me toll-free from Eureka or elsewhere at 1-888-579-2540. We can't find John Nichols, so I'm looking to you to talk to me about issues in the news, and I'll bring a couple of other items up in the next segment. Get on the line now, toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And that's the same website where you can get more information about your humble host. You can also get links to our archive programs, podcasts, and the daily live stream, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time every weekday. And Wendell's on the line from Santa Cruz this afternoon. Hello, Wendell. It's Peter.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. You don't have John Nichols over there, do you?
No.
I can't find him anywhere.
I did want to do a heads up for you and your listeners, though. I went to see the Al Gore movie.
Good. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
Oh, I give it very, very high ratings. I went and with an objective mind. I wasn't, I wasn't going to be biased one way or the other. I was open-minded, and I think it was very, very well done, and I think it's a need to see for everybody.
What's interesting, I haven't found the time yet to take in a screening. But Roger Ebert, who, you know, is a longtime film critic, I knew him eons ago in Chicago. He wrote a review of this, and he said that he has never, ever made a statement like this about any film that he has reviewed in the past. He said something to the effect that we all owe it to ourselves, a responsibility to see this film.
Yes, I would definitely agree, and that's why I'm taking the time out to call you. Because I appreciate you and what you've had to say, and I know that your listeners are above average intelligence. And I think if everybody sees this, it's going to really enhance everything for everyone.
So tell me what you took away from the film. What was most impressive to you?
I would say it's Eco-Basics 101. He shows some very convincing footage of Antarctica and the Arctic and what's happening, and he takes you around the world. And it's a presentation that he's been giving, I guess, all around the world, since he, didn't assume the presidency. And it's very, very educational. It's very well done. He's a very good educator.
Mm-hmm. And did it change your mind in any way, Wendell, or were you already there?
It changed my mind because I was a partial recycler, and I was a partial, I'm going to do a little bit here and pick up garbage when I see it and stuff like that. Now I'm going to go way out of my way to do absolutely everything I can to tell people about this movie and to do any simple thing I can. I'm driving a Geo Metro. It's hard for me to get in and out of. I'm a big guy, but I save a lot of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm doing my part there. And, just any simple thing, using less bags. When you go to the grocery store, bring something to carry your groceries in, little things.
Well, and we also have to work on the big picture, too, because we have an administration that is no longer in total denial about climate change, but they're trying to spin it this way by saying, well, yeah, the climate's changing and maybe human activity is contributing to it, but it's just a cyclical thing. And, Mount St. Helens put more hydrocarbons in the environment than cars did in that entire year.
Well, he addressed that, and he used convincing proof with glacial samples that they took, and they went down back 600,000 years periodically and were able to determine and make charts and graphs showing exactly how the CO2 levels have altered themselves. And, it's very convincing proof. This is not just a thrown-together piece of work. It's very, very well documented. And also at the end, when you see the credits, it's just mind-boggling who all has contributed to this. So.
Well, the other thing I would ask people to take a look at is the only real opposition to the scientific community's approach to this comes from big business, and in particular the oil, gas, and timber industries. And they have funded a phony think tank in Washington called the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And if you Google them and go to their website, they actually have the web address climatechange.org or climatechange.com, and they claim that it's bad science, fuzzy science, etc., that is causing the alarm to be sounded. Well, when you take a look at who is funding the Competitive Enterprise Institute, it's ExxonMobil and all of the usual extraction industry characters.
Right.
And they are attempting to do what the tobacco industry successfully did, which is simply slow down the inevitable, because their self-interest is served by keeping the regulations as relaxed as possible on power plants and other emissions, because they don't care about the planet. They simply care about next quarter's profits.
Well, that's what's so wonderful about this. If the people go and educate themselves by viewing this, give yourself 100 minutes to go see this and see, you know, what you take away from it. He shows how the Chinese, even their new automobiles, have better fuel economy than what we're allowing for right now. So they're already ahead of the game. And he shows what the European community is doing. And, you know, we're falling behind. We need to catch up pace and do more of a valid contribution towards saving this one planet that we have.
Yeah.
By the way, he shows some beautiful shots of the Earth that people have never seen before. He's got some special footage in this documentary that you've never seen before, and it's worth the price of admission alone.
All right. I'm going to go see it as soon as I can. Thanks for the review,
Peter.
Wendell.
Bye-bye.
Larry and Aptos, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. A couple of things I wanted to ask about the congressional race in North San Diego County. Is that just a done deal now, or are those provisional or mail-in ballots actually going to be counted? And I understand there was something like 16,000, which would have been enough to overturn the 5,000 win of the Republican congressional candidate.
Larry, I don't know the answer to that, but just 10 minutes from now, Brad mm-hmm. Friedman will be joining us, and
okay.
I will be sure to ask him that, and if I don't satisfy you, you get a special pass to call back today.
Well, you know, I want to comment, too, that I was listening to the Ed Schultz show a few days ago, and he kind of really took it to the Democrats and Howard Dean and the fact that the Republican candidate outspent the Democratic candidate something like 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a point that, you know, if this was such an important race and one that could have been won, hands down, with the former Dukester now in jail, why wasn't more money thrown by the Democratic Party to to Busby?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to take it that, you know, something's wrong there. But on the other hand, one thing he didn't mention is the fact that they did have the electronic voting machines there, didn't they?
Yep.
And we don't know if there could have been some fraud. A couple of callers ago, someone called in and said they're always going to do the absentee ballot. Even there, I've heard several people call in on different shows. I don't know if it was your show. I think it might have been Tom Hartman's. Mm-hmm. A few other people saying that they didn't get their absentee ballot in the mail, or if they mailed it in, maybe it won't get there.
Yeah.
The hand of Karl Rove is pretty widespread in these things, I think. So I don't think that's a guarantee either. I think you'd have to walk right over to the county courthouse and actually get it into somebody's hands that's going to do the counting.
Well, you know, you do have that option if you choose to vote absentee or by mail.
Mm-hmm.
They send you the ballot, and you can either mail it in or you can deliver it to the registrar's office or to your precinct on election day.
Okay, go to the polling place and leave it off there.
Yeah, so you do have that option. And I agree, you know, Larry, almost any system is not 100%
yeah.
foolproof or fraud-proof.
Right.
But you do have a situation with an absentee or mail-in ballot where there is a paper record
mm-hmm.
that could be re-reviewed after tabulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are looking for, because in too many cases with the touchscreen machines, the potential is there for your vote to vanish with no record or trail. And then there's no way to forensically go back and look at that and try to recount and make sure that the vote was correct.
Yeah.
So those are some of the issues there. Thanks for your call today, Larry.
Okay.
And I will take that up with his Bradness coming up in the next segment. Also, I want to remind you, Monday is Clean Money Day, coast to coast. And Shelley Pingree of Common Cause will be on with me from Washington, D.C. Monday on our program, and we'll be talking about it. Coming up next, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Wendell. Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Zarqawi was alive long enough to know what hit him.
Zarqawi, in fact, did survive the airstrike.
President Bush tries to lower expectations.
It's not going to end the war. It's certainly not going to end the violence, but it's going to help a lot.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. When U.S. fighters dropped two 500-pound bombs on Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's hideout, officials say five people were killed instantly, but Zarqawi himself lived long enough to see American Special Forces troops face-to-face. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
New details are emerging, first and foremost, that Zarqawi was found alive and placed on a stretcher.
They went into the process to provide medical care to him.
General William Caldwell says Zarqawi mumbled something incomprehensible and tried turning away off the stretcher before being secured and then eventually dying. The FBI crime lab near here is analyzing samples of Zarqawi's remains to extract DNA and compare it to evidence found at insurgent hideouts in Iraq to try to piece together his movements and contacts.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The U.S. military mission in Iraq remains open-ended. President Bush will only say troops will come home as soon as possible based on his definition of victory.
Victory in Iraq is a country that can sustain itself, govern itself, and defend itself.
And the impact of the death of terror leader Zarqawi?
It's a big deal to have brought him to justice. Having said that, I don't want the American people to think that a war is won with the death of one person.
The president plans a further assessment of the situation in Iraq at a two-day Camp David meeting next week. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
War after this.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much. When I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
A new taped message today from Osama bin Laden's chief deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri. He praises Abu Musab al-Zarqawi as the prophet of Islam in Iraq, a persistent hero. But al-Zawahiri makes no mention of Zarqawi's death, suggesting the message was recorded earlier. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer in Baghdad reports the Iraqi government imposed a vehicle curfew to prevent car bombings. Iraq's Sunni insurgents considered Zarqawi an ally and they're mourning.
We did hear from one of our contacts in Tikrit, which is also an area known for the insurgency, that they're treating Zarqawi's death like a death in the family. So we have to believe there's some solidarity there and fear that the Sunni insurgencies may team up with his foreign fighters and we'll see a more united front.
The theft of a government laptop and a home burglary compromised the privacy of millions of veterans and active duty personnel. Today, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports officials acknowledged another loss of data.
It was a hacker who broke into an Energy Department computer and deliberately took information on 1,500 employees. Congress was told the file on a computer belonging to the agency that maintains and guards nuclear weapons had names and social security numbers of employees and showed their level of security clearance. The cyber break-in happened last September, but the employees were never told, and the Energy Secretary only learned about it this week.
A spokesman for Energy Secretary Sam Bodman says he's deeply disturbed by the way this was handled. The killing of 7 Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip today may have ended the Mideast ceasefire. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger reports.
The military wing of Hamas declared an end to the truce with Israel after Israeli artillery shells hit a Palestinian family picnicking on a Gaza beach. The truce was declared over a year ago, but a leaflet said suicide bombings would resume in Israeli cities. Israeli artillery was targeting rocket launching sites, but the army says some shells apparently went astray. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
You're listening to the Friday edition of the CBS World News Roundup.
Next door to Radio Shack and get a free Samsung D357. It has push to talk to easily keep in touch with friends, and it has Bluetooth. Learn from it, Gladwell.
Get on the largest push-to-talk network in America from Singular Wireless with the D357 by Samsung. Free after $50 Radio Shack instant rebate with 2-year subscriber agreement. Don't just get a phone, get a Singular phone at Radio Shack today. Good for new customers through 61706 with credit approval. $36 activation and $175 early termination fees apply. Details in store.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Britney, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
It could be devastating.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show continues from the Left Coast. And this hour, we're joined by his Bradness, the proprietor of BradBlog.com, Brad Friedman, who has supplied us with this new ditty.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm a dictator. It'll take time to restore chaos. Shame on you. You fool me, we can't get fooled again. We can win this war on terror if we're steadfast and strong. It's not going to happen on my watch. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. When we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
Oh, why can't everyone tell? Statesman from above, who's got a telephone book, a frat boy who took drugs, who lays down with thieves, the one who deceived about the WMDs. How did you get us to trade? Heroes for shrugs, Democrats for repugs, a stain we never could scrub, a living, breathing oil spill. How did we reject surplus safety net for $9 trillion in debt? I wish you were more. It's been two lost terms swimming in.
With apologies to Roger Waters and Pink Floyd, that's Wish You Were Gore from the vast left-wing conspiracy. Hello, Brad.
Hi there. How are you, Peter?
That's a fun one. Where did that come in from?
Boy, you know what? I'm going to drop the ball here.
It's okay.
I can't remember the name of who it was.
Well, it's from the Vast Left Wing Conspiracy, and that's a blog I've never visited.
Yes, and I tell you, I've been getting so buried with stuff this week, I hope you accept my apologies, and whoever wrote that accepts my apologies for not being able to give them proper credit, because it is a great song.
We give them points for the lyrical attempt.
Yes, indeed.
And Brad, are you the only blogger who's not at the Yearly Coast in Las Vegas today?
That's funny you should ask. I well may be. I wasn't really interested in going, to be frank. As you may know, over there at Daily Coast, some time ago, Coast had purged a whole bunch of folks who were asking questions about the 2004 election, and he just purged the users, apparently, because the topic of election reform, I guess, is verboten over there. So,
really?
Yeah. So for some reason, I didn't get an invitation to Yearly Coast, but I look forward to next year's annual Brad. So
Brad,
I'm hoping you'll join me out there in Vegas next year for that.
Can you pick another venue? I'd be happy to confab with you, but Vegas is not my favorite destination.
Is that right? Well, I just figure if I hold it wherever they're having annual Coast, then it'll be, you know, much more convenient for everyone. So wherever they go, if you can get annual Coast to move, then Yearly Brad will move right there with them.
Well, you know, and if they had broadband access, we could do it at, what's the Labor Day thing up in the desert in North Nevada? Burning Man.
Burning Man, yeah. They don't have, Burning Brad. They don't have high-speed access out there yet?
Oh, I don't think so, and you'd end up with sand in your hard drive and a few other personal places.
Hey, I lived through Crawford. Don't whine to me, fella.
Okay. Brad, topic A today, and a caller just before the top of the hour asked a few questions about what's going on in San Diego, the District 50 showdown between Francine Busby and Brian Bilbray in Tuesday's primary. And this was the non-primary election. They actually faced off in the primary for this coming November. But there is the short-term fill-in for Duke Cunningham. And at the moment, Bilbray is declared the winner. But you pointed out in a blog that was posted just moments ago that the uncounted absentee ballots, the numbers aren't adding up.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. Now, I broke this earlier in the week when it became quite clear, we talked about this a little earlier, that the election, the Diebold voting machines were all sent home with poll workers days and weeks prior to that Tuesday election. We know them to be hackable, and they should never be out of official custody and let go to these people to live in their garages alone. It's insane. Which puts the entire election, as far as I'm concerned, in doubt. Now, it ended up on election night, the reported numbers was that there was a 4,500 vote difference, approximately, between Busby and Bilbray, and yet there was 68,500 uncounted ballots, absentee and provisionals, in San Diego County as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we've found out today is that that number has now decreased by 2,000, as reported at the San Diego County Register's website. Nonetheless, the number of voters in the Busby-Bilbray race has increased by 8,000 for some odd reason.
Now, I'm sometimes challenged by math here. 68,500 on election night remained to be counted.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 have been counted. But the increase in the tabulation for Busby and Bilbray amounts to 8,000.
Unfortunately, you have that correct.
Now is this a loaves and fishes thing? Was there some extraordinary intervention?
At this point, we don't know, because there's very few people who are apparently allowed to speak to the media at the county registrar's office. I should also point out that those 68,500 uncounted votes on election night, those were uncounted absentee and provisionals, that was for San Diego County as a whole.
Mm.
Now, the District 50 race is a smaller subset of that.
Okay.
So we would expect, if they went ahead and counted 2,000 ballots, we would expect the number of voters in the District 50 race to go up some amount fewer than 2,000 votes.
I can grok that.
Got that? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so now that it's gone up 8,000 votes, one wonders where those votes came from. and just who the hell is watching the chain of custody for these ballots in a race that was a bellwether race around the country concerning what's going to happen this November. You probably have heard the Republicans running around saying how this shows that this culture of corruption isn't a problem. America is in favor of it or something. And, you know, but 4,500 vote difference. Now, why the heck Francine Busby would pull a John Kerry and concede 5 minutes later is greatly in question. I can't explain it, and apparently neither can they, because they have not called me back on any of this, and some other folks in the media who have also been trying to get comment from the Busby campaign have also not been able to get through to anybody.
This is quite unusual because, as you pointed out, and I actually jotted down the number from the other day, the precise number is 4,732. That was the difference between Bill Bray, the projected winner, and Busby, the projected loser, in Tuesday's announced tabulation. So your question is right on target here, with thousands of absentee and provisional ballots apparently still not included in the final tabulation. There's certainly room for the result to change.
There's room for the result to change, and then you add to that that we know that these Diebold machines now can have, within 2 minutes' time, no password necessary, can have the entire election software completely overwritten. The operating system, the computer BIOS can be overwritten in 2 minutes' time, no password necessary. And they let those machines go out to poll workers' houses for weeks prior to the election. So, frankly, no matter what the numbers are, you know, you cannot have confidence in any anymore in those numbers. And, yeah. You know, I've been yelling and screaming about this, and this is the problem with these machines, and we're going to have one election after another where these things come into doubt. And let me tell you, I know it's dispiriting. I know nobody wants to face what it is, or few people really want to face what I am talking about. But we are going to have election after election after election where this happens unless something is done, and something is done quickly. This is getting ridiculous. I don't, you know, there's so many other things I would rather be reporting on, but I feel like if I don't talk about this stuff, well, who's going to right now?
And, Brad, you got an email from a man you identify as Terry Olson. He says, I volunteer to be a poll worker in the 49th. That's the adjacent district in San Diego County. I took a short course on Sunday morning, loaded up the machine, and had it Sunday and all day and all night Monday. I couldn't believe it, folks. Get in the polling places to watch for funny business.
Yeah.
Wow. And do people actually sleep with these machines? I mean, is there a pillow included?
Well, there may be. I mean, given Diebold, they already include a little plastic, what do they call it, a magnifying glass, the type you get in the Cracker Jacks box.
Oh, how nice.
To help people read the so-called voter-verified paper trails on these machines because they're so impossible to read.
Mm-hmm. Brad, we're going to take a break and return in a moment. If people want to talk with Brad Friedman, he's available this entire hour. And Larry from Aptos, if I didn't get all your questions answered about the anomalies in San Diego, call us 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Dentist, listen to you. Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens,
He cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
KRXA 540 with the Friday Getaway Traffic Update. We get our first report from Amy Knight.
Hi, Peter.
How you
doing? A few things to talk about this afternoon. Heavy traffic through Carmel Highway 1 northbound at Valley Way. An injury accident blocks the left lane. An emergency crews are there, but expect delays on Highway 1 in both directions as you travel through Carmel with this injury accident there. Also in Watsonville, Highway 129 at Old Chittenden Road, there's a rock slide blocking the roadway there on a blind curve, so drive with caution. I think Caltrans will be out there on the way to try and scoop up some of those rocks. Otherwise, as you head out of Morgan Hill into South San Jose, North 101 before Highway 85, watch out for a tire in the left lane. Aches and pains keeping you up? Though big news, Advil PM is here, the multi-pain reliever, powerful, plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM, stop hurting and start sleeping. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show coming right out of your speakers or into those pretty little earbuds you use. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Carmel by the Sea. We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our show is heard in the nighttime in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, that's KSAC. And also in Phoenix, Arizona now on KPHX 1480. And starting Monday, I will be live from Washington, D.C., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from the Take Back America Conference. And among others, Chelly Pingree, the president of Common Cause, will be joining us on Monday. We also have an interview scheduled with Congressman John Conyers, one of our favorite people, a real leader on the issues that Brad and I talk about on a regular basis. And also, if you go to the Common Cause website at commoncause.org, you can get information on how you can hold a house party to screen the new powerful documentary called The Big Buy, Tom DeLay's Stolen Congress. They're going to be screening that on Monday at this event while I'm live on the air, so I'll have to catch a DVD and catch up on it when I can. But if you go to commoncause.org, there's information there on how you can get involved with educating people on Tom DeLay, the corruption in Washington, and what we can do about it. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. He is on the cutting edge of trying to preserve and protect our election rights in this country. And there are key questions, as we've just been discussing, about this contested race in San Diego between Francine Busby and Brian Bilbray. And Brad, again, what comes to mind, what just stands out in what you described in the first segment, is that Democrats don't seem to get the risks that they are confronting
and Francine Busby conceded before all the votes were counted. Isn't that just a fundamental rule of elections, that you don't concede until you know you've really lost?
Well, this is what happened. I mean, they tend to concede when, you know, on election night, if they can, if they take a look at the outstanding ballots and they determine, oh, there's not going to be enough there to change anything. But given what we now know, and given the fact that the margin was only 4,500, what did you say, 4,700 votes.
4,732.
Yeah, it seems to me to be common sense. But you remember what happened when Al Gore didn't concede in Florida in 2000, and how he was tarred and feathered by the brilliant GOP media machine. And, you know, I think it's come to the fact now that the Democrats are completely cowed. They're completely frightened of having that label placed on them. She's got in mind that she's going to be running again in November for this same seat. I'm sure the results will be not all that different, frankly. And but yet, you know, she doesn't want to be. They're scared. They're scared of the media. You bring back that Take Back America conference in D.C. I'm glad you're going. I was invited to go. I've declined, amongst the reasons, again, like the annual yearly coast thing in Vegas. They're planning to take back America, but they couldn't find any time, apparently, on the schedule to have any conferences, any plenaries, any anything discussing election reform. Ask them while you're there, Peter, please, how they plan on taking back America if they have absolutely no way to verify the way these elections are run, and how many elections it's going to take where Democrats lose by 1, 2, 3 points in races with loads of irregularities before they realize, oh, I guess we better do something about election reform and electoral integrity.
And, Brad, I just scrolled down during the break and read another post, or another part of this post, about the Busby race at bradblog.com. And this is another individual who was hired as an Election Day employee. And he or she says, by the way, since I was trained a week before the election, that means I got my 2 voting stations, 2 printers, and cardboard privacy screen right after my training. All this equipment was sitting in my garage for nearly a week, but it was a rule that you couldn't leave the equipment at the poll site if you set it up the night before. My neighbors were quite surprised when I showed them one of the touchscreen systems from my garage. This is too much, Brad. I mean, we would never permit blank ballots to be resting overnight or for a week in the garage of a voting precinct employee.
I know. I hate to be a broken record. I know, and I have to say, you know, why the hell isn't everyone else yelling and screaming about this? Why the hell are they having a Take Back America conference for Democrats, and they're not covering it? By the way, just slightly off topic, I saw that Big Buy movie on Tom DeLay, and it's very, very good.
Oh, good.
You will enjoy it whenever you get to see it.
Another hit from Robert Greenwald.
He's the executive producer or something, I think, on that.
Right. Yeah.
In any case, though, yeah, it's mind-blowing. People are probably listening going, what? You're kidding? I mean, I had reported when I first broke this story that the machines had gone home with poll workers. I had confirmed it from the registrar's office. And yet I had letter after email asking, Brad, are you sure? They didn't really send these things home with poll workers, did they? You must have gotten it wrong, which is one of the reasons why I posted some of those emails from those poll workers saying, yep, I had it home sitting in my garage, and my wife couldn't believe it.
Just amazing.
I can't believe it either.
We got about a minute till the break, Brad. Any other key anomalies? We heard that there were delays, 3-hour delays in poll openings in San Joaquin County, similar problems in Kern County, Bakersfield area. Anything that rises to the level of suspicion you have about San Diego?
It's not yet that I'm ready to report. I'm getting a lot of stuff. I'm trying to sift through it, and I'm trying to confirm it. I do have a tale about these scanners, though, and what is confirmed to have happened last Tuesday that is startling and I'll save it for after the break.
All right, we're going to head to a break now, and we're going to go to the phones in the next segment, too. So if you have a question or comment for Brad Friedman, get on the line now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll-free, 888-579-2540. Before the end of the hour, an Ann Coulter update. Will somebody please slap her? Ah, that's much better. Thank you. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters. This Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540, you'll learn how Waldorf and Montessori schools benefit children. The care this kind of education brings to young students will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Jennifer Aniston was a Waldorf student and said it encouraged her career, creativity, and individualism. Jen Selby is also grateful. Montessori schools brought each of her children pride and confidence about their unique gifts. Our guests are wonderfully gifted teachers. Wendy Bashkoff from the East Bay Waldorf School and Paul McNeese, who's with the Montessori School in Kensington. Keep listening. We'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. K-E-N-L-E-Y. Can Waldorf and Montessori schools benefit your child? Find out this Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show this Friday afternoon. Coming up next hour, our regular visit and debriefing from John Laird, Member of the California Assembly, Democrat from Santa Cruz, chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. He's working through the weekend again, trying to get the budget in on time before July 1st. We'll get a prognostication on that. And also talk about the new Arnold and the results of this week's primary election, such as they are. And Scott Dick will join us next hour, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. We kind of flip things today because Brad is going to see Greg Palast at an event in Los Angeles tonight. Will you give our regards to Greg? Hello, Brad. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah. Please give our regards to Greg Palast.
I will indeed. Have you had him on yet to talk about his new book?
Yes, we have.
Oh, you have.
And tell him we want to have him back because there's so much more to talk about.
I say only good things to everyone about you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. And the check is in the mail.
Thank you, sir.
Emily in Santa Cruz. Join us. Peter B. and Brad here on the air.
Hi. I know you don't like to be thanked, so darn you for taking my call.
Well, I accept.
I want to thank Brad for your great coverage on this issue, and specifically for talking about how, even though we really, it's not that we know that this is an election that's been stolen. It's that we really don't know, and that's the problem with these machines, that there's no basis for confidence in the results that they come up with. And the whole thing about the uncounted votes is just absurd. It's absurd that Busby has conceded. And I really don't think that she has standing to concede our democracy. You know, just like when Barbara Boxer didn't stand with the Congressional Black Caucus in 2000 and object to the seating of the electors from Florida, and when she did stand in 2004 to object to the seating of Ohio's electors, she said she had made a mistake and that she hadn't stood up in 2000 because Al Gore had asked her not to. But now she realized that it wasn't about Al Gore. It was about the people, and this is the same situation. And I really want to get that message to Francine Busby that this isn't about her. This is about our elections and that we, the people, do not concede.
Beautifully put, Emily. Brad, your comment?
Yeah, it is beautifully put, and thank you for saying it, because this is one of those things. I don't know if you've been tracking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. came out with a terrific article a week or so ago in Rolling Stone, talking about the 04 election and the 350,000 votes that seem to have been shifted from Kerry to Bush. And one of the things that has come up whenever he has been talking to media folks, they say, well, look, and this happened, you know, they say this to me too, Kerry didn't concede. He was the big loser here, and he didn't contest. I'm sorry, he didn't contest the election. So if Kerry didn't contest it, you know, why should we worry? He's the guy who had the most to lose. No, he's not the one who had the most to lose. This was not John Kerry's race. This was America's race. And this is, you know, every time we are not, it is not a spectator sport. I believe Bob Kohler in the Tribune columnist had said this. This is not a spectator sport. We are not sitting on the couch watching our democracy. This is our democracy. And when someone like Busby or Kerry concedes and doesn't fight to ensure that all of the votes are counted and counted correctly, we are the ones who are the big losers, not John Kerry, not Francine.
And Brad, you pointed out that there is this pressure on candidates to either declare victory or concede sometime on election night. We saw that Wesley and Angelides didn't have a clear notion of the outcome until about 1:30 in the morning. And still, the election of the next mayor of Oakland is not determined. They're still counting ballots because Oakland, Alameda County, decided to scrap their electronic voting machines and go back to old-fashioned paper ballots, and it took them longer to count them, and it is a very close race. Ron Dellums is within striking distance of the 50% plus one vote that he needs to avoid a runoff. And the city of Oakland is not falling apart because the election results have not been posted yet. And this is something that we can live with in our democracy. I would be willing to wait a week or even 2 weeks for Francine Busby to either declare victory or to concede once the facts are truly known.
So, Peter, are you saying that
we don't need to just feed the media? Go ahead, Emily.
Are you saying that you would rather wait for accurate results than have inaccurate results right now?
Yes.
That's shocking. You really are on the fringe.
Yeah.
You're easily shocked, Emily.
I want to say that while we're screaming about this, and I think we all need to scream about this, and do what we can to contact Busby and to to really get the word out to people that we may not be able to count on her to figure this out on her own. She may need to really hear from a lot of us in the public. And I Brad, are you planning to give out contact information?
Excuse me. Whose number did I put out? I put out the Registrar of Voters in San Diego to ask questions of them. I have not yet put out Busby's number, but it's available on the web. Anyone who wants to stop by busbyforcongress.org, their phone number is there. Give them a call.
Can I give that number?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So this is Francine Busby for Congress, her office in Cardiff by the Sea, 760-479-0114. And it's really important to tell her that the people are behind her here and that we need her to stand up. This is really an important moment and a very important race, and we know what the GOP is willing to do in very important races. So we need to really be doing everything we can to keep our eyes open and really thoroughly investigate this. It doesn't matter that she conceded already. That has no legal standing. She can unconcede.
You are correct.
And I'll toss in, do you suspect if the Republican in this race had lost by that thin of margin that they would have conceded by now?
We'll just let that one hang out there. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks very much.
Thanks,
let me
Emily.
Repeat the number if anybody wants to call the Busby campaign office, 760-479-0114. And if you get through, call us, and then we'll call them back on the air and talk with them. I just don't imagine there's anybody actually there this afternoon. Dave joins us next from Pinnacles. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Well, hi, guys. Thanks, Peter, for having Brad back again.
It's my pleasure.
And good work on making some money off of that Republican last week. Hey, I knew you weren't a traitor all along.
Well, I'm very clear about what I do, Dave. And
I know, right on, dude.
I sleep very well at night.
Hey, guys, what Republican did you make money off?
Oh, I worked. I did some work for Pete McCloskey in taking on Richard Pombo in the 11th District.
I see.
Don't you think, I kind of want to talk about elections, but, well, this kind of does include elections, but don't you think, Peter, that if we get a real clean-cut Bobby Kennedy, kind of a young guy, going up against Pombo as a moderate Democrat, don't you think he could be unseated in November?
It really depends, because the registration of that district tilts Republican.
Exactly.
And it's clear from the primary that 62% of Republicans are content to have a man who they know is tainted, whom they identify as their guy who's bringing home the pork, legally or not, their guy who is driving the one-party rule up into the wall of our Constitution at every opportunity. And so I'm a little bit discouraged by the voters of California in both parties who aren't willing to stand up and say, gosh, you know, maybe it is time for a change.
You'd think so, huh? Hey, well, anyways, my question for Brad here is, why can't the accumulative effect of all these election irregularities nationwide be all stuck together into one little lawsuit marched into federal court? And if for no other reason, at least it gets slammed all over the front page.
Well, USA Today covered that very issue about, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago,
yeah,
about the number of lawsuits that are currently going on around the country. And there are many lawsuits going on trying to stop at least these voting machines. You know, other than that, you have to, you know, frankly, come up with a whole lot of money, which I've not found an easy way to do. And you have to have a legal theory, essentially, to go in there. Now, that said, there may well be some legal suits along that line against these voting machine companies, at least, coming very soon.
I think it's difficult to do because of the jurisdictions, and it's hard to create a class that includes multiple states because, as we saw in Florida, the rules aren't even consistent from county to county, much less from state to state. But thank you for your call, Dave. Now to Pat in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hello.
And Brad. And I stand up and cheer both of you. I was driving home from work, and the further I drove, the more I drove, the madder I got, and I was outraged by the time I got home. This whole situation is horrible. And Emily, the call before, she's right on. I've written down Busby's number, and I intend to call when I finish here, or tomorrow if needs be. Anyway, the reason I'm calling, I came home, I threw my purse on the couch, and I called my brother who lives in San Diego. And he tells me two things that I will question you about. One, have all my friends in San Diego fallen asleep? He said there is nothing on the radio, nothing in the newspaper, except Busby has admitted defeat. The other thing is he tells me that he and in his district, and he seems to feel all of northern San Diego, had write-in votes. I mean, the paper ballots. They didn't use D-Bolt machines. He said nobody he knows voted by machine.
Everybody he knows voted by machine.
Everybody in San Diego voted by machine?
Yeah, let me be clear. There are two different types of D-Bolt machines. Both of them are hackable in a big way. The optical scan ballot machines, that's the one your brother's probably talking about, that allows you to fill out a paper ballot and run it through the optical scanner. That's the good news, because that means most of the votes were actually counted on those optical scan ballots. They can be counted, and they must be counted by hand. That's the good news. The bad news is the optical scanners are frankly proven to be terrible. I mentioned earlier there was a case in Tuesday in Pottawatomie County, Iowa, which I just like saying anyway, where the incumbent, long-term popular incumbent, was up for a race against some young college kid who no one had ever heard of. They used optical scan ballots like the ones we're talking about here. They scanned the ballots, and it was a small race, and they found that the college kid had won by two votes, and nobody could understand why. They looked at the absentee ballots, and they found that the college kid had beat the popular incumbent by 20 votes. And they thought, well, wait, something is not right here. So they decided, look, let's count these ballots by hand. Guess what they found? The longtime popular incumbent had won the race by 128 votes instead of having lost by 20. The optical scan, that's an extraordinary percentage, by the way. The optical scan machines had it completely wrong.
Wow.
And what about touchscreens? Were those used in San Diego County, Brad?
Yes, they were. It was a blended system where they had mostly optical scans, but in each polling place there was at least one touchscreen system.
Oh.
And those, of course, they have these, we'll call it voter-verified paper trails, which really can't be counted, and they can't be counted on either because inexplicably D-Bolt includes this door that voters and poll workers can close, and completely hiding the printer for some reason, so you can't verify the voter-verified paper trail. It's insane. Nonetheless, San Diego has announced that this November they are planning to go all touchscreen across the entire
country. All touchscreen?
Yep.
Is that more verified? I mean, is that more accurate?
It's not more accurate, and it is far less verifiable because you don't have a paper ballot, at least with the optical scan machine.
They're going to go all. Is anybody fighting that?
I am.
Yes, I gather that you're fighting. Can we do anything? What can we do? I can call Busby's office. What is one little person in San Diego, in Santa Cruz, going? What effect is that going to have on anything?
Well, you know what? One little person up here in Los Angeles has been able to have a lot of an effect. So you're, and I'm talking about me, the amount of noise you make does have an effect. You need to call Francine's office. You need to call the San Diego County Registrar's office. You need to call California Secretary of State Bruce McPherson and ask him why the hell he is legally allowing counties to send home machines with poll workers.
Brad and Pat, I'm sorry I'm late for a break here. I got
to
take the break.
Pat,
thank you for the call. Thanks for your anger.
Work,
be active and keep listening. Brad will return in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Down in
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
The doctor is in. Do you have questions about your child's health? I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and Dr. Nora Garcia-Zepeda to discuss issues from summer colds, immunizations, and sunscreen. Enjoy your children this summer and keep them healthy and safe.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
It's 4:49 now. We check the latest traffic on this Friday afternoon. Here's Amy Knight at Metro Traffic.
So many new problems to talk about. We'll start off in Live Oak. Paul Sweet Road at Soquel Drive. A vehicle struck a pedestrian. No injuries reported, though, but Highway Patrol is on scene. Also, Highway 129 at School Road. You'll find an accident reported there. Still heavy traffic through Carmel on Highway 1 in both directions. We had an earlier crash northbound at Valley Way. It has been moved out of the roadway off to the side, but traffic again still slow through Carmel on Highway 1 in both directions. South 17, heavy Highway 85 up toward the Lexington Reservoir, and southbound Santa Teresa Boulevard after Bailey Road completely shut down with a car fire that's fully engulfed. Monterey Highway is good as your alternate. TomTom is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. The B, of course, stands for Buckeye. I am a son of the great state of Ohio, where the 2004 and 2005 elections were stolen. And the guy who presided over that, Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell, is now well on his way in a campaign to be elected governor this November. And Brad, at BradBlog, you have a new item about Mr. Blackwell. He is seeing no conflict of interest in his role as the chief election officer and candidate for governor.
That's right. His opponent out there, Ted Strickland, who's running against him, had a press conference yesterday and feels that Blackwell ought to recuse himself from running his own election in Ohio. Seems reasonable to me. Blackwell, no shock, feels otherwise.
Yep. Now, we did tease people that we would update them on Ann Coulter's legal difficulties in Florida, but we first ought to mention that in attempting to promote her new book, which is, what is it called here? It is called Godless, The Church of Liberalism. The blonde bimbo has gone out of her way to offend the widows of 9/11 victims, even referring to them as harpies, who probably were going to be divorced by their husbands. I mean, this is such low form of slime. It reminds me of Ghostbusters.
I actually try, believe it or not, to not dwell too much on that and her statement. She says that what did she say about the 9/11 widows, that they were enjoying their husband's death or something. Oh, this is a horrible woman. My interest in it is when somebody like NBC, the Today Show, gives her 8 minutes the other day to come on and spout this hatred, this hate mongering. As far as I'm concerned, we know that Ann Coulter is an awful person. What about NBC? When the hell do they take responsibility for giving airtime to this hate monger? They should be ashamed of themselves. And everyone who does it should be ashamed of themselves. Now, I'm one to talk because I cover her at BradBlog. What do I cover, however? I cover the fact that she appears to have broken the law and committed a felony down in Florida. I think that's newsworthy. And so to that end, I've got some new documents from her attorney today that I posted just before the show, talking about asking for, essentially asking for leniency, special privileges for Ann Coulter in the matter. You can read the details over there.
Mm-hmm. And you have this cute little picture of her at Joe McCarthy's grave.
Yeah.
Well, now that is the origin of Smear.
That's her hero.
Yeah.
She wrote about him in one of her books, saying Joe McCarthy was right, and that's her hero and role model.
I rarely agree with Hillary Rodham Clinton, but the senator hammered Ann Coulter. It was unimaginable that anyone in the public eye could launch a vicious, mean-spirited attack on people whom I've known for the last 4 years and to be concerned deeply about the safety and security of our country. Perhaps her book should have been called Heartless, says Hillary.
She, Coulter, is a horrible, horrible woman. That's an understatement.
Yes, indeed.
Listen, and I know we're coming up to the end of the hour here shortly, so I want to get something in here very important in regard, if I could, to that last caller who said, what can I do?
Go ahead.
She also said that there was, you know, nothing in the media down there in San Diego, nobody's talking about it and so forth. Folks in San Diego, folks around the country, call the media. Call the media in San Diego and your own local media. Those folks who I reported that AP came out and said, you know, Bill Bray lost. Bill Bray won, beat Busby in a bellwether race. And I asked a simple question yesterday on my blog, okay, prove it. How do you know that Busby lost? They can't prove it. Now, you know, I feel the responsibility when I report things at Brad Blog to back it up with evidence that is independently verifiable. I challenge AP, ABC, any of these media outlets who have reported that Busby lost, I challenge them to prove it, because, Peter, they can't.
All right. That challenge is noted. We'll see who responds.
Please, Susan, pick it up. Call the media and ask them to do it yourself.
And also, a caller left Bruce McPherson's number. I'll give it out to you if you want to call and register your discontent with him. 916-653-6814. That's 916-653-6814. Now to Susan in Santa Cruz. Thanks for holding, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter and Brad. I appreciate you so much. I just want to say about the Busby thing that this morning I heard, maybe it was on Tom's show before I went to work, that even if Busby has conceded, if the votes come in and she's won, then she will be the victor.
You're correct. A concession has no real bearing on the actual outcome of the election.
Yeah, for people who are freaking out about it, I think that's important to know.
No, but it is symptomatic that she has stopped fighting.
I don't know. I tend to agree with Brad a little bit there that there's a whole lot of backlash when you don't. And she is, as far as I know, intending to run in the fall. Plus,
oh, yeah, she won the primary. There were two votes in the 50th district, one for the short-term fill-in and the other for the full term starting next January.
Right.
And so she did easily win the Democratic primary for the November
election.
She'll run
against this guy then, right. But didn't she also run on, one of the things she ran on was this whole voting thing, and I'm sure that she knew when she conceded that if she won, she would be put in place there.
Still, just as a matter of practice, if you have doubts as a candidate, you shouldn't concede, because it does cause your followers to stop prosecuting every angle to make sure that things are properly evaluated and counted.
Yeah, well, I think sometimes when they concede so quickly, it's because their arm has been twisted in some unknown way that, you know, we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, I have gotten to that point where I trust nothing in this system.
Good. You shouldn't. Our system was not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances. You should always ask people for proof, elections officials and everyone else. You're not supposed to trust them. We've got to stop trusting them and ask them to verify what the hell they're doing.
Right.
Susan, thanks a lot for your call.
You.
Brad, a final question. Do you think that the uncertainties and lack of confidence in the voting system contributed directly to the low turnout on Tuesday here in California?
No, not at all. I think it's ridiculous for people that say, oh, I've read the Brad blog. I see that there's problems with the voting machines. I'm not going at all. That's ridiculous. You know, people know to turn out. The people who read my stuff are the most engaged patriots out there. They show up. They vote. It's nonsense that scaring people about election machines is going to turn away the voter turnout.
All right, Brad, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next Friday and give our regards to Greg Palast.
Have a great weekend, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much. And I'll be moving to Washington, D.C., but only for 3 days. Live from there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The U.S. military offered more details today on the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
The two 500-pound bombs dropped on Zarqawi's hideout killed five people right away, but not him, the U.S. military now says.
We did, in fact, see him alive. There was some kind of movement he had on the stretcher, and he died shortly thereafter.
General William Caldwell at a briefing said Zarqawi died from bombing wounds and that he has seen nothing indicating that Iraqi or U.S. forces fired any shots. In a separate interview, Caldwell said Zarqawi how he recognized American troops and tried to, quote, get away. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
President Bush cautioned today that while Zarqawi's demise is a major blow to al-Qaeda, it's not going to end the war. Senator John McCain agrees.
We still have militia, sectarian violence, we still have militias, we still have other problems, but we should pause one moment and be grateful and proud of the men and women in the military who did it.
U.S. forces in Iraq are keeping pressure on Zarqawi's organization. Today they raided 39 more sites, killing one person and detaining more than two dozen. Military officials say some of those raids came about because of information gleaned from Zarqawi's bombed-out safe house. Auto parts supplier Delphi doesn't need a strike as it struggles to emerge from bankruptcy. Today, in an agreement with the United Auto Workers and General Motors, Delphi spokeswoman Claudia Pitchinen says the company's buyout offer was expanded.
This will allow more opportunities for our employees to seek buyout opportunities or early retirements for our eligible hourly workforce.
Delphi is GM's largest supplier. Teen smoking had been in decline since the late 1990s, but in recent years, a new study finds the decline has halted. One in four teenagers lights up. Vince Wilmore of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids thinks he knows the reason.
States have cut funding for tobacco prevention programs by more than 25%. At the same time, the tobacco companies have increased marketing to record levels.
He calls this study a wake-up call. The Food and Drug Administration is getting ready to enforce a law requiring that drugs be tracked every time they change hands from factory to pharmacy. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano explains it's an effort to shut out counterfeit drugs.
The FDA says counterfeiting is quite rare in the U.S., but concedes the U.S. drug supply chain is increasingly vulnerable. With some exceptions, beginning December 1st, the FDA will require details of each sale of a drug in the wholesale market, from the manufacturer to the pharmacy, known as its pedigree. This will be in paper form until radio frequency identification technology, considered the most promising way to track drugs as they move through the supply chain, is in wider use. Lou Miliano, CBS News, New York.
The stock market closed out a bad week with more losses. The Dow down 46 points to 10,891. For the week, the Dow's down 355 points. This is CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health.
more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now that you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good, fine. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com.
Much to her parents' relief, a 16-year-old Michigan girl is safe and on her way home after skipping off to the Middle East to be with a man she met online. WWJ Radio's Ron Dewey has the story.
To say Sean Lester was shocked by her daughter's secret trip to the Middle East would be an understatement.
I honestly thought her being a teenager, she's never done anything like this before.
Why the 16-year-old honor student would fly to the other side of the globe to meet a man is one mystery. How she was able to is another.
How does a 16-year-old get into Canada, then go to JFK, then out of the country without a parent?
And Lester says her daughter's overseas odyssey will change things back home.
I don't want a computer in my home anymore.
Ron Dewey, CBS News, Detroit.
If nothing else, the girl's resourceful. She tricked her parents into getting her a passport by saying she was going to Canada with friends. Authorities tracked her to Amman, Jordan before she was able to link up with the man she met on MySpace.com. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
No doubt about it. The Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much. When I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Is it a time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues on this Friday evening. Coming up in a few minutes, Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, will talk about the Zarqawi snuff and whether that package is completely believable. Is Al Zarqawi the new Jessica Lynch? It's just a question. We'll see if we can get an answer. Joining us now for our weekly briefing from Sacramento is Democrat John Laird of Santa Cruz. He sits in the Assembly and chairs the Assembly Budget Committee. John Laird, welcome to our program today.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How do you feel about the outcome of Tuesday's primary?
Well, overall, I feel pretty good about it in terms of the outcome with candidates. I think the Assembly is going to get a little more environmental come November. I was a Phil Angelides supporter, although I was disappointed in the library bond going down.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed in the low voter turnout.
Oh,
I think that people were really turned off by the tenor of this election. And if you speak to sort of hopes and dreams and what we can do together, people see a difference and they see a reason to get out there, and I don't sense anybody pick that message up from this election.
Well, I'm particularly focused on national issues, and we had some key races, the Busby-Bilbray race, the Harmon-Winograd race, and on the Republican side, the Pombo-McCloskey race. And unfortunately, I don't see that most voters get the urgency of the problems in Washington and the extent to which one-party rule is the cause.
Well, I agree with the outcomes, but I actually saw silver linings in many of those races. And I would have thrown in as a fourth race the primary for John Doolittle's seat in the sort of Sacramento Valley foothill area. And if you really look at it, Marcy Winograd actually against a strong, well-known incumbent did reasonably well in her primary. If you look at what the voter registration is in the history in the district that Francine Busby ran in, she did a remarkable job in coming as close as she did. And if you look at John Doolittle and Richard Pombo in Republican primaries, excuse me, not able to get one-third of the vote in either case, one-third of the vote not going with them in the general defeats them for re-election. So I think that there were very significant outcomes in terms of the direction of the voters. It just didn't lead to Francine Busby winning or John Doolittle or Pombo losing their primaries.
Right. I do understand that point, and incrementally, I agree that a little progress was made. However, particularly in the Busby-Bilbray race, that is the proverbial perfect storm, where the corruption issue should have been significant enough to keep a lobbyist like Brian Bilbray from winning that race. And they turned it into a debate over immigration policy, which worked for the Republicans, but once again, I think shows the way Democrats can be cornered by these powerful wedge issues.
That's true to some extent. I think, though, that when you look at Republican districts that are in Southern California or near the border, immigration is the premier issue, and it is the wedge issue, and it's something that motivates the base. I'm not sure it has the same cachet in other parts of the state or the nation, although it's definitely an issue.
Mm-hmm.
For her to get 45-46% of the vote.
The gap was 4,732 votes.
It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if she hadn't have sort of stepped on herself with a comment near the end and some other things, and don't forget, the National Republicans had to spend $5 million in a bedrock-safe Republican seat.
Mm-hmm.
To just barely win. I think on every score, it's the perfect storm, but if the trend nationally in all 435 districts mirrors the trend that was in that district, even with Francine Busby losing, the Democrats will retake the House in November.
John Laird with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Assemblyman, I took out my solar-powered calculator and figured out in round numbers, that Phil Angelides spent about $24 per vote to win, and Steve Wesley spent about $40 per vote to lose. So Wesley joins the Millionaires Hall of Fame here in California with Bill Simon, Jane Harmon, Al Checkey, and Dick Reardon.
I'd throw in Michael Huffington.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about him.
And that's true. I think Steve came a little closer than some of them did, but it's just a big disappointment because Phil Angelides should have bankrolled his 16 or 20 million that he went into this race with for November. He'd be way ahead of Arnold, and I'm just disappointed that coming out of the primary, there was that negativity and that division. I still think it's a horse race heading to November, and Arnold is still going to have to remake himself and deliver and not make a mistake. And
well, he has remade himself. He repainted the campaign bus. It's green now instead of red, white, and blue.
But he did, just yesterday when he suggested that he might endorse Dianne Feinstein for a moment instead of the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, set off a furor among his base in the Republican Party. And I think, this is just an open race. He's going to look reasonably okay with some things coming out of the budget, but we're in the process. We potentially could close down the conference committee this weekend on the budget, and we could be very near him in the bottom line numbers and still restore the Social Security increase to seniors and people with disabilities, roll back community college fees, move down the path to ensure every kid for higher education. There's whole hosts of things that we can do in this budget that separate us from him. And I think, you know, a lot of those issues will be issues that the race could be fought out on.
Now, did I hear you correctly that you're about to wrap up the negotiations on the budget?
We
are you aware that it's not July?
Well, we're wrapping it up between the Senate and the Assembly, and we still have to make sure that what it takes to bring the governor and the Republicans are along. But we will be ready with a budget that I think is very close to the governor's bottom lines, incorporates some of the things that the Republicans want, and gives them 2 weeks to tell us if there's significant changes that we need to negotiate to do an on-time budget. But we're positioned well to do an on-time budget. We've done all the work. I think it's just a little negotiations, and I'm feeling pretty good about it right now. We have a chance. I'm still in Sacramento. Normally I'm back in the district on Fridays, and we're going to go in tomorrow sometime in midday, and we have a shot of closing down the open items by the end of the day tomorrow. And if we do, we can meet our June 15th deadline for having a vote on the floor on time for the budget.
And to the extent you're willing to talk publicly, what's the strategery here? Are you going to put items in there that will push the governor, or are you going to be careful not to give him too many opportunities to politically champion, for example, an increase in the minimum wage and other issues that tend to play to the advantage of Democrats?
Well, the minimum wage, fortunately, is something that is a policy issue separate from the budget. And I think the fact that we will change his education budget, not the numbers, but we'll try to do things that we think are more in sync with the ongoing fiscal health of schools and getting more money directly to local schools for local control, and try to deal with specific issues like English language learners and helping kids that haven't passed the exit exam, and trying to deal with specific issues in education, and then do the overlay of what our values are on the budget that he proposed. In each area, we won't want to rip off the money that he proposed to take from public transit and transportation. We'll want to add some significant marine protection and other issues in environmental protection. We'll want to make sure that there's money for trauma care and meth prevention and health care for kids that he didn't put in the budget. And we think we can do this by making some other cuts and rearranging things very near the bottom line of the budget that he proposed. And I think that should be a winning budget for everyone, because he's concerned about the dollars and the out year. We're concerned about that the budget reflect the values of California, and we'll present a budget that does both. And if there's need for further negotiation, we will still have 2 weeks to do it. But we're on track, and if there's a budget that's not on time, it's not because we weren't here working, finishing it, and ready to shut it down.
Well, I was pretty impressed that you were working all through the past weekend, right up ahead of the primary election. That's a sacrifice for people who are on the ballot. I know you were running without opposition, but many of your colleagues didn't have that luxury. John Laird, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your hard work in Sacramento.
My pleasure. Talk to you again next week.
All right. That's John Laird, Democrat from Santa Cruz, chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. Coming up next, we take a look at the Zarqawi incident and the details behind it. Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown. president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Glenn Plantone, real estate entrepreneur. Glenn works out of Las Vegas, Nevada, but will share his success of investing in real estate around the United States, picking out hotspots which he feels is the next big thing. That's this week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs, every Sunday morning at 10. Heard all over Northern California and online at rockrollandrealestate.com. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. 408-892-3376.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 looks at your Friday afternoon commute. Here's Amy Knight.
Well, not too many new problems to talk about. We still have a few old problems. If you're on Highway 17, it's still a little slow southbound as you make your way from at least Los Gatos out toward the Lexington Reservoir. Looks like one new problem, Hitchcock Road at Highway 68, it's a new injury accident to report, reported as a head-on collision. You'll find emergency crews responding. Also, 152 at Fifel Road, an accident reported there. Also, one last crash to talk about, Soquel Drive at Paul Sweet Road. It's a vehicle and a pedestrian involved in that crash, so expect a minor delay. Preparation H relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour.
Okay.
And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Let's do it.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Every week we make time to talk with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He served in the Marines and retired as an Army major. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Just fine. I wanted to get your insight and analysis of yesterday's big get, the bombing of a safe house where we are told that Musab al-Zarqawi was hanging out. And they produced his body. They claimed that he was alive after the bombing and was on a stretcher, kind of tried to roll off it or get away. And then he expired before they could get him to a hospital. I asked this question earlier today, so I'll just pose it to you for a fresh take. Is this the new Jessica Lynch propaganda package coming out of the PSYOPs Department of the Pentagon?
Well, I think if it was, it probably would have come out before the June primary.
So this is probably a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination between the Delta Force and the British Special Forces, you know, taking this guy out is a big win for the troops in Iraq. Not for the Bush administration now, but for the troops in Iraq.
Well, I agree, and I want to be clear, because as a sharp critic of the administration, I think some people get the idea that I'm actually rooting for Bush and us to lose in Iraq, and that is not the case at all.
But you hear that every right-wing weirdo nutcase on the radio or television says, well, the progressives, they just want us to lose.
Right.
To make the president look bad. And that's not in our case at all, Peter. I agree with you.
And so my questions are more about the specifics. I do accept that Zarqawi is dead. But the manner in which it's been described to us, that they dropped 2 500-pound bombs on this house and his body came out relatively intact, that seems hard to believe. What's your take?
Well, does it really matter? I mean, Azakari is the terrorist that beheaded people on camera, and it doesn't really matter whether they took him out with gunshots to the body or to the head, or they blew him up with 500-pound bombs. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I think they can sugarcoat it by saying we took him out with bombs, but the fact that if he was taken out with a 500-pound bomb, there wouldn't have been anything but fragments left, I think. What do you think?
Well, I have much less, experience with those kind of munitions than you do. But my sense is that, I'm just skeptical, and I'm willing to admit a week from now, if every question I've raised has been answered, I'll say I was wrong. But as I look at this, I feel that the corporate media has been fed a produced package from the Pentagon, and I'm just skeptical about some of the specifics. Certainly, it is a great advance for our efforts to pacify the Iraqi landscape to take out Zarqawi. However, he's got lieutenants who are going to surface and attempt to carry on the mission there. And he never was, in my view, the main source of problems for the American occupiers.
Well, Peter, remember, I think during the Cold War, if you can think back, the U.S. made the Russians, every Russian soldier, 10 feet tall. And from that, they had to produce this incredible military-industrial complex to meet the threat of these 10-foot-tall Russian soldiers. And I think that's what they were doing in Iraq. They made him 10 feet tall. And what they were saying was, well, Zarqawi, he is the heart and mind behind the insurgency, and if somehow we could take him out, then Iraq will be pacified.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so naive as to think that there are other more mainstream Iraqis that want the United States out of the country. I think, in fact, in the last 6 months, they had a poll that said that 43% of the Iraqis said it was okay to attack American military targets.
I think it was in the 50% range.
50%. So half the Iraqis believe it's okay to kill Americans while they're occupying their country. So the fact that we killed Zarqawi is good, but I don't think tomorrow, suddenly the country is going to be pacified, because as far as I'm concerned, we've talked about this before, there is a civil war going on between the Sunnis and the Shia, and Zarqawi being killed isn't going to stop that.
Right. And I do want to note that the president showed commendable restraint, in my view, in certainly announcing and strutting to the microphone to do so. But as he announced the death of Zarqawi and patted a few people on the back, he did acknowledge, and so did Tony Snow, the new press secretary, that this doesn't necessarily fix the problem and that violence actually might pick up over the coming few weeks as a result of the disruption of Zarqawi's group.
We get whiplash from whatever Bush says. He says we're winning, and then next week he comes out and says we have to spend more money because we're not winning. I don't put any stock in what he says. The fact that we're not in a civil war, according to the Bush administration, just sort of puts what they say. I mean, Peter, I don't even listen to what they say anymore. And Tony Snow, as far as I'm concerned, he has no credibility. He came from Fox News. his military analysis, as far as I'm concerned, is nothing. And they've been playing this. You know, we take troops out, we'll put troops back in. You know, the administration says we're going to take troops out, and then the generals say, no, we got to keep troops in. It's just more whiplash for the American public.
Well, New York Times today reports troop cuts in Iraq won't meet goal this year, officials say, and that goal was to get down below 100,000.
You know, they just brought a couple of brigades from the 1st Armored Division from Kuwait into Iraq because the situation was so tough. They needed additional personnel. And before, a lot of people were, like John Murtha was saying, oh, we'll take the troops out and we'll put them in Kuwait as sort of a rapid reaction force.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've moved them back in, and it has a ripple effect because all those people were thinking that they were going to sit in Kuwait and then go home. And their families were thinking that they were going to sit in Kuwait and go home. And now that's all been completely shattered. They're in harm's way. They're in Iraq. They are fighting the war because we don't have enough troops there to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this many times.
Yes, we have. We got to take a break, Scott, and we'll return. We'll talk a little more about Zarqawi. We're also going to talk about the Haditha cover-up and Hamdaniya, the other scene of alleged atrocities by American soldiers. And if you have a question or comment for Scott Dick, get on the line now. Toll free, 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear, coming out of your speakers, or however you do it. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and vets affairs. If you have a question or comment, join us, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. Eugenia joins us from Prunedale. Hello, Eugenia.
Oh, hi. Bush doesn't want us to get out of Iraq or bring our military out of Iraq until he's got everything in place like he wants it. But the thing of it is, Brad's got to listen or got to see what they say, because not from the facts of what they're saying, but to get an idea of what their plan is, because they flag their moves.
Well, go on. What do you mean?
Okay, like, as you listen to his speech, remember I called about sovereign entity?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's he was really struggling for a word. And that one, when that one came out, it was so strange, it caught my attention. And when I looked it up, hey, that's the supreme ruler. Okay, and there's three different things from three different aspects in Google on that. And you can see... You can see what he's thinking, and you can basically, they do flag their moves.
Well, to some extent, I agree. And, for example, I've pointed out that recently the pronouncements about our policy change toward Iran are still tinged with references to the regime in Tehran. That's the preferred way of referring to the government there. And that, I believe, is a marker to prepare the American people that this regime needs to be changed. So, yes, they do telegraph some things that they're intending to do, but I'm not sure that it's as...
When a person's got something really great that they're doing, they can't help but put a little bit of it out, just from a standpoint of their ego, okay? It's just the way it is. Human beings have to share their really good things.
I understand.
And to them, this is really great. I mean... The trick that they're trying to pull off is the biggest one that the world's ever seen. It'll be the worst thing that ever happened, but it'll still be the biggest, okay, if they can pull it off.
Well, I agree with that, and they're certainly still committed to pulling it off, even
That's
though
right.
the soil is slipping out from under them. Scott, do you have a comment for Eugenia?
No, I think it's clear that they are pretty obtuse about signaling where they're going to go next. I mean, your
but you can see
their
you can see their thinking.
It's just one. It's just it's pretty clear, Peter.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Eugenia.
So keep on look, keep on watching. You got to see what they say.
Well, we
I mean here
will.
You got to look at it. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Eugenia. Now, Scott, anything else you want to add about the Zarqawi situation, or shall we move on to the cover-ups?
Let's go on to Zarqawi. You know, frankly, Peter, I'm, you know, happy is not the right word, but I'm satisfied that Delta, between the Delta and the British Special Forces, they took the guy out, and it should make for a less volatile situation, but it's not going to end the civil war between the Sunnis and the Shias.
Right. And it's interesting because the Zarqawi announcement overshadowed the finalization of the cabinet of the new Iraqi government, where they have worked out the behind-the-scenes power struggle and named the Minister of Interior, Minister of Defense, and one other post. So that was kind of an interesting development yesterday. It's been slow, this impaneling of a new government, but at least it does appear to be finalized at this point, and we'll have to see where it goes from there.
It took 6 months to get their act together, right?
Yes, it did. Now to the Haditha story. This is a situation that developed last November 2005, and from all accounts, there was an IED that killed an American serviceman, and then his buddies apparently went to show the locals that, you know, they wanted to teach them a lesson. And it does appear that the military is moving pretty slowly to investigate this and to correct the record and ultimately to investigate and prosecute individuals if that proves warranted.
Well, this makes Abu Ghraib, I mean, this is a black eye of monumental proportions. And the thought was, from the readings that I've been doing, Peter, was that these people, the civilians, women, and children, were complicit in this IED. And so they were punished for it. And that they had to have known that insurgents were operating in their area, and they could have easily warned the Marines. And so all of this sort of mental illness, I mean, it's temporary insanity for those guys to go in and kill civilians, women and children, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. And then it goes up the chain of command. Instead of the chain saying, yeah, we had this horrible event, they cover it up. And what the government is trying to defend itself from is something that makes us look even dumber and more incompetent than we already look when it comes to fighting the Iraqi insurgency.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real political, diplomatic problems with bringing this to the front.
Well, it's also producing a couple of reactions. One is it appears that certain reports are getting more scrutiny, and we now have an investigation into an incident in Hamdaniya in April of this year, 2006, where I believe 14 or 15 civilians are allegedly the victims of wrongful deaths at the hands of U.S. forces. And the comments coming out of Iraqis are that this is almost a daily event, that these two incidents are not isolated.
Well, every time a car accelerates towards a checkpoint and our troops open fire and kill women and children, for example, a couple weeks ago they killed a woman who was being fed towards the hospital because she was giving birth in the car, and they killed the occupants of the car. They violated sort of an unknown, unwritten, unacknowledged code that you don't speed toward a checkpoint. And all of those incidents, the Iraqis feel, you know, our troops, they're trying to do a job, they're trying to stay alive. And it's a very, what it does is just create more fodder for the insurgency.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to be fair, our troops have great challenges facing them because, as you point out, when a car is speeding toward a checkpoint, at a certain moment, you have to make a split decision about what to do. Your training comes into play, your awareness of the situation around you, and certainly I don't care to second-guess from 8,000 miles away each particular incident of that sort. War is very difficult to begin with, and when we have inadequate knowledge of the language and culture, and translators aren't readily available to help with communication, a lot of things can go wrong. And just this week, an author who was on the program who wrote a book about various individuals who have decided to desert rather than return to Iraq, many of them described situations that amount to atrocities committed by American forces, and that's one of the reasons these individuals choose to face the consequences rather than return to the military theater.
Peter, it boils down to the very basic parts of survival training, that's kill or be killed. And when a soldier or a Marine has to go to the last, flip the safety switch off an M16 or an M240, and pull the trigger, that's when somebody's going to die, because they just don't shoot into the air for like celebratory fire like the Bosnians did.
Mm-hmm.
They're aiming at a specific target, and, you know, I've looked through many a windshield and couldn't discern who the occupants were. So it's these guys have to make tough decisions, and they're kids. They mm-hmm. have really, at 18, 19, 20, I'm sorry, they don't have the life experiences necessary to make intelligent, mature decisions, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's go to the phones. Carl in Fortuna, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm calling you up in regards to a number of emails I had sent you concerning the number of homeless veterans that we're seeing coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan now, and some of the efforts that are underway here in Humboldt County to begin to address those kinds of issues.
Well, Carl, welcome to the show. Thanks for the emails you've been sending, and it's nice to talk with you. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Humboldt County to try to assist veterans going all the way back to Vietnam, but also including recent returnees.
Yes. Well, a couple of things came to light. I'm a recent arrival to Humboldt County. I've been up here for about a year and a half. And down in Solano County, where I resided at before for a number of years, I helped coordinate and organize what we call stand-downs. And this is where we brought in a large number of homeless veterans from a number of different counties in our area that had either received very little care or any information concerning veterans' benefits to information on, you know, maybe you've got some issues that you carried on throughout the, your time in the military, and you had some major transition problems, as we're seeing now with a lot of Iraqi veterans as well as Afghani veterans. You know, you just don't simply come out of a combat zone and just jump into civilian life a week later and say, okay, everything's good to go, and here we go down the road, and we're back on the job again. Some of the things you don't hear about from the administration is the high unemployment rate of veterans we're seeing right now, about 15% of these guys coming back. A lot of the jobs that they left when they or had before they went into the service aren't there anymore. They've been outsourced out or whatever the case may be. And, you know, different ways of coping with issues and stress. A lot of these guys, unfortunately, got into maybe a little alcohol abuse or drug abuse rather than perhaps getting into some training or some treatment for their mental illness problems. We're seeing a very high incidence rate of PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes, we are.
And unfortunately, you know, the VA does not have the outreach capabilities at this point to get a hold of a lot of these folks and say, hey, you know, come on in, let's give you a little help here. So it's really required local communities get together, and we have a number of them throughout the state of California that have said, hey, you know, enough is enough. We can't wait for the VA to come to these guys. We're going to have to bring them together, and we basically create a large encampment where we get a lot of local veterans and the community themselves, social service agencies, the VA, together and say, okay, boom, here's the services. You know, we bring counselors to on-site, and it's usually a large tent city. In our case, we're going to be doing it at the fairgrounds up here in Ferndale next October, October 14th through the 16th.
All right.
And we're going to be local veterans groups are actually going to be helping bus these guys in. We've had reports of stand-downs where guys have walked 50 miles to get help, you know, and it's very much a grassroots, community-based type situation. And it's really a very heartfelt, very tear-jerking type of situation when these guys start getting the camaraderie, the respect that they deserve from other veterans as well as the community. Congressman Mike Thompson has been a superstar with helping us do this. You know, we're trying to get some tents out of excess property from the Department of Defense. Of course, a lot of those went to Kuwait, I mean, down to Katrina, folks. But we are, you know, doing the best we can under some very, you know, constrained resources.
I appreciate that, and I'm glad that you're working to help your fellow veterans. Carl, you also sent me an email, a Joe Galloway article. Scott Dick has been in touch with Joe Galloway and is in contact with him. And the article talks about the way Haditha and these other incidents really end up being taken out on the grunts, as Galloway put it in his article. What's your reaction to that?
Very true. I mean, if you go back to Vietnam and when we were returning home, I know when I got done with my tour in Vietnam, a lot of us weren't really brought in back into society with open hands. A lot of rejection from different folks, you know, anything from baby killers to, you know, employers that maybe weren't too happy about, you know, us getting back into the job market again. And, you know, and very fighting a very, very unpopular war then. And we're seeing some very interesting comparisons between Vietnam and what's going on now. I mean, you've got individuals that are doing repeat 3-4 tours in Iraq in combat zones.
Right.
And somehow getting into this mindset that, oh, they'll be okay. And it just doesn't work that way. These people go in 18, 19, 20 years old. They come out 3-4 years later. Tell me they don't have to do a little bit of social readjustment. You're in Baghdad 1 week and Brooklyn the next. And it has its fallout.
Well, yeah. Carl, and Peter, they got, you know, the troops are going back on the third and fourth tour, and they're on Prozac and Zoloft.
Yes, yeah, actually diagnosed mentally ill, and going back into combat zones.
Hey, guys, I need to take a break here. Carl, hold on. We'll talk to you a little more after the break.
Okay.
And if anybody else wants to join us, lines are available, 1-888-579-2540, toll-free. Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. Scott Dick is with us, along with caller Carl from Fortuna. We'll return in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale, reminding you to tune in to the greatest reality radio show ever.
It's Sheila.
Not now, Kate. Not now. Saturday evening, 6 to 7, we'll have the most interesting people.
But Sheila.
What is it?
You didn't mention my name.
Kate. Of course, Kate. We love you, Kate. That's Kate and Sheila Gale, every Saturday evening, 6 to 7.
On Reality Radio.
AM 540.
On KRXA.
Oh, good, Kate. You done real good.
Oh, thanks.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters. This Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540, you'll learn how Waldorf and Montessori schools benefit children. The care this kind of education brings to young students will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Jennifer Aniston was a Waldorf student and said it encouraged her career, creativity, and individualism. Jen Selby is also grateful. Montessori schools brought each of her children pride and confidence about their unique gifts. Our guests are wonderfully gifted teachers. Wendy Bashkoff from the East Bay Waldorf School and Paul McNeese, who's with the Montessori School in Kensington. Keep listening. We'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. K-E-N-L-E-Y. Can Waldorf and Montessori schools benefit your child? Find out this Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic here on a Friday night. We get the latest from Amy Knight.
Well, it's busy right now on Highway 68 westbound at Hitchcock Road. An injury accident, multiple cars involved. Traffic is very, very heavy in the area. Not far away, westbound 68 at Foster Road. The right lane blocked with a Jeep and a big rig. Crews are on scene, but it's going to be really heavy on Highway 68 in both directions. Also, South 101 before Ralph Lane, a two-car crash in the center divide in Prunedale. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $1.99 per quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Have a great weekend and a safe drive home. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
You have a great weekend too, Amy. Thanks for your work.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, and Carl calling in from Fortuna, who is a veteran who is working hard to make life a little better for his fellow vets from Vietnam forward. And just before the break, Scott, you were trying to make a comment about the way the average soldier, the grunt, gets blamed for some of these problems when there are mental illness, there's stress, there are repeated tours. And it really does become a command responsibility at some point or other, doesn't it?
Well, I, as a commander, would not want to take a soldier who is on Zoloft or some of the other the psychotic, antipsychotic, or antidepressant drugs into combat and then ask him to make split-second decisions that concern the life or death of either myself or, you know, our other troops or civilians in happen to be on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And they're... Civilians get caught up because it's urban combat. So the fact that these are third and fourth tour troops who are on Zoloft and Prozac, they're antipsychotic drugs deployed in a combat zone that's never been done before. And we're paying the price for that. And we will continue in the future to pay the price for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we live, Peter, we live in a fantasy world in the United States. One of the big things that have just come up on the network, I call it the net, come up on the net, is that there's a whole program now. There's 1,000 countries around the country who signed up to provide free lawn care for deployed troops' families. I'm not kidding. Free lawn care.
That'll really help the troops.
So somebody will come over and do anti-grub control while your husband or wife or mother or sister or brother or daughter or son is in Iraq facing the IEDs and the insurgency every day. But they'll come over and cut your yard for you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Carl, do you want to make another remark?
Well, maybe I could share a few specific highlights concerning some of our at-risk homeless veterans that a lot of people may not know about. First of all, 23% of the homeless population are veterans.
Yep.
33% of the male homeless population are veterans. 40% of them are Vietnam-era veterans. 89% of those individuals have honorable discharges. 79% reside in central cities. 16% are in suburban areas. We do have a high incidence of alcohol and drug and mental health problems, 76%. 46% are age 45 or older, compared to 20% to non-veterans. These are startling numbers, and when you think about one out of 18 males between 18 and 65 have ever served in the military, yet we make up 23% of the homeless population in the United States.
Yeah. It's a really sorry record, and we're a nation that pays lip service to honoring our service members and veterans. And as Scott said, you know, we focus on silly things like cutting the grass for a soldier who's in Iraq when we should be looking at the big picture about, you know, where this war came from, whether it's really justified to put these people at risk, and what the net benefit is to the United States for their sacrifice. And we don't talk about those things. Next week, there's supposed to be a debate in the House of Representatives about the war, our policies, and the future of it. And I fear that it's going to be a gotcha debate where the Republicans attempt to jam a resolution down the throats of Democrats without really an honest debate about these and the other issues we've been talking about.
Well,
Carl, I got to run here, but I thank you for joining us, and keep sending those emails, will you?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Carl.
At the same time, they haven't passed an emergency supplemental funding bill.
Right.
So Bush went to Congress and said, give me emergency funding, because he didn't want to put it in the budget because it's so expensive. It's $1 billion a month in Afghanistan and $6 billion a month in Iraq. And because they haven't passed it, the Army plans to cut recruiting and reenlistment bonuses, lay off some civilian employees, freeze promotions, and cancel non-essential travel. And they call these painful actions, but they're absolutely necessary in order to continue operations during the month of June. So the Bush administration says we're going to take care of the troops, but we put 3rd and 4th tour troops on Prozac and Zoloft into the combat zone. We don't give them adequate funding, and then we offer them free lawn care.
That's a beautiful package, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Scott, let's talk about Rummy. He's been on the move just in the past 7 or 9 days. He's been in Vietnam. Here's a report from Brussels. Here's another one from Jakarta, where the Indonesian defense minister gave him a little lecture. And the backstory is that George H.W. Bush, Bush 1 or Poppy Bush, has been actively working to get his son W to dump Rumsfeld and went so far as to recruit a potential replacement for him.
Well, you know, I was wrong. I said last month that he had a month to live as far as being the defense Secretary of Defense, and I was wrong. I'm surprised that he lasted this long. But, you know, a moving target is hard to hit. So if he's out making the rounds, pressing the flesh, he's not in D.C. answering tough questions like, why don't we have a supplemental funding bill? Why do we have troops on the 3rd and 4th tour on Zoloft, et cetera, et cetera? Remember, this force is not broken. It's a combat, tough force that has everything they need. The commanders in Iraq have all the troops they need. Everything is fine. We're winning the war, the global war on terrorism, and this is not a civil war in Iraq.
Well, and to counter that, on the PBS NewsHour the other night, General Joseph Hoar was one of the guests, H-O-A-R, and he was really interesting to hear because he was not sugarcoating it in any respect. And I wrote down a little quote from him. He said, Iraq is slipping into chaos. And if a general, a retired general at that, is willing to state that for the record, then I think that the situation there is certainly much worse than we are being told and they want us to believe. And again, that the capture of Zarqawi, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, will not really do much to end the Sunni-Shia sectarian strife.
When we have Shia death squads on the move, it has nothing to do with Zarqawi. And so the fact that they're settling old blood feuds and old scores from the time of Saddam Hussein is not going to end just because he was killed. He was sort of inserted from the outside, from al-Qaeda. So they could remove the whole al-Qaeda cell, and as far as I'm concerned, this Sunni-Shia fight is not going to end.
Yeah. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us. A pleasure as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Peter, thanks.
Scott Dick, and he's got the Tasty Planet coming up tomorrow on KRXA 540 in Monterey from 1 to 3 p.m. I'm Peter B. I want to thank you for listening today. I will be joining you live from Washington, D.C. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be attending the Take Back America conference. Hope you'll tune in and listen then.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The military tells us more about the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
Zarqawi, in fact, did survive the airstrike.
But not by much. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has more from Washington.
Zarqawi was placed on a stretcher and tried talking.
He mumbled a little something, but it was indistinguishable, and it was very short.
General William Caldwell suggests Zarqawi may have tried escaping.
There was some kind of movement he had on the stretcher, and he died shortly thereafter.
The FBI crime lab near here is analyzing samples of Zarqawi's remains to extract DNA and compare it to evidence found at insurgent hideouts in Iraq to try to piece together his movements and contacts. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. President Bush is trying to lower any expectation that the death of Iraq's top terror leader will pave the way for U.S. troop withdrawals. Mr. Bush will only repeat that he wants American forces out as soon as possible.
The definition of as soon as possible is depending upon victory in Iraq, and which in victory in Iraq is a country that can sustain itself, govern itself, and defend itself.
But the president won't say when the untested Iraqi government will be able to do all that. He plans a fresh assessment of Iraq's strategy during 2 days of meetings next week. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
The death of the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq raises fresh questions about the hunt for the overall leader. CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan reports Osama bin Laden seems as elusive as ever.
Bin Laden has kept a low profile of late, favoring the use of couriers for communication to deliver his audio messages. Already three since January. Today, a general in the Pakistani military told CBS News it may well be those very couriers that lead pursuers back to bin Laden.
A videotaped message from bin Laden's deputy surfaced today. Apparently recorded before Zarqawi was killed, Ayman al-Zawahiri praises Zarqawi as a persistent hero but makes no mention of his death. Information on millions of veterans and active duty personnel was stolen when the home of a Veterans Affairs Department employee was burglarized, and today it came out that data from another government agency is missing.
Members of Congress were furious to learn that private information, including Social Security numbers of 1,500 Energy Department employees, was stolen by a computer hacker last September. None of the victims were told, and neither was the Energy Department.